Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back in this last segment of a very wide-ranging, as I'd expected, and thought-provoking conversation with Michel Gerfinkel, a courageous and extraordinarily articulate. You think he's impressive in English, you should see him in French, but a very powerful force and voice for thoughtful analysis and commentary on both sides of the Atlantic. Currently the founder and president of the Jean-Jacques Rousseau Institute and a Shulman Ginsberg Fellow at the Middle East Forum. And Michel, you were just addressing an issue that I think we, again, too many of us don't understand, and that is while there are various faith traditions within Islam, and thank God quite a number of people have a more benign or peaceable or tolerant view of its teachings than others, the authorities of the faith could not be more clear about what's entailed. And it seems to me as though it is basically Sharia of the most virulent kind. You've described as this sort of fundamentalist. I think its principal characteristic is Islamic supremacism. And whatever the tactical approach, violent or pre-violent, it's a real threat to all of us. Your thoughts?
It's a threat to all of us. And if I may add, it's also a threat to the vast majority of Muslims. There is no question that many Muslims, and some of them are courageous enough to say it aloud, are in fact thinking that their civilization should evolve in a much more open and, I wouldn't say modern, but a much more open and tolerant and peaceful way. But those Muslims who aspire to peace and to normal coexistence with other faiths have been intimidated and, in fact, have been terrorized by the fundamentalist and the violent groups. You see, there is something that very few people are aware. It is that a very large part of the Palestinian Arab population by the beginning of the 20th century was extremely sympathetic to the Zionist movement and to the growth of a Jewish commonwealth in the Holy Land. But they have been simply reduced to silence by terror and murder by the two competing Palestinian fundamentalist groups, the one led by the infamous Great Mufti of Jerusalem, who was a friend of Hitler, and the other one by Qassam, the Muslim Brothers leader in Palestine, who, by the way, was not Palestinian at all. He was Syrian, he had lived in Libya and so on, but he became something similar to the Muslim Brotherhood in Palestine. And this is the Hamas wing of the Palestinians. Those fanatics have simply murdered and terrorized the peace party among the Palestinians, and that's one of the roots of the problem we have now.
But one of the things that they've drawn, I think you'd agree, Michel, is this authority of the faith, that they are practicing the true faith and that everybody else has to conform, and that they're supported in doing so by, you know, Al-Azhar University and various imams who are the designated senior officials in, you know, Saudi Arabia and the like. And let me just turn, if I can, to one of the other places where we're seeing the true threat posed to the Dar al-Harb, Western world, our Western civilization, manifesting itself as these jihadists of various stripes work their will. And that is in the form of anti-Semitism. You have been following this very closely, written books on the subject and countless articles. Give us quickly, if you would, Michel, your appreciation of how that stands at the moment in Europe and European attitudes towards Israel as well.
Well, in one word, I believe that there is evidence that anti-Semitism has been revived in Europe because of Muslim immigration. Muslim immigrants coming to European countries, Muslim immigrants and their children and their offspring are totally impervious to the moral re-examination of Jewish-Christian relations that has taken place in the Christian world after the Holocaust, after the Shoah. And the actual presence and growth of candid anti-Semites within Europe has reactivated those, let's call them native anti-Semites, who are for the decades, the post-Holocaust decades, were very much unwilling to express their views. There has been a phenomenon all over European countries, a kind of alliance, unwritten, unspoken alliance between traditional, let's call them, I hate calling them Christian anti-Semites, because I believe that Christians have done a fantastic job in trying to go out of anti-Semitism over the past decades, but anti-Semites with a Christian background, between those anti-Semites and the Muslim anti-Semites. Now, of course, and again, you may have many cases of Muslims, European Muslims, or Muslims even in Muslim countries who resist anti-Semitism. There are many cases like that. I would like to stress, for instance, one personality like the Algerian writer Sansal, who writes in French but who still lives in Algeria and who has been a courageous critic of both jihadism and Arab nationalism and anti-Semitism in the Arab world. And this man, who, again, let's consider the fantastic courage of a man who still insists living in Algeria and nevertheless is expressing frankly and in a clear-cut way what he really thinks about these evils that are befalling his own nation.
Let me ask you, though, quickly in closing, Michel, you've pointed out to me that there is a sort of irony that on the one hand, this anti-Semitic attitude, which is manifesting itself, I think, often in even official circles, as a kind of anti-Israel attitude, is in contrast with what seems to be a growing appreciation, shall we say, of Israel's effective counterterrorism practices. Quickly, just discuss that, if you would.
First of all, I would like to insist that were it not for some kind of brainwashing by many European media, including media that are, in fact, government-controlled media, this is the case of France, for instance, I think that there would be much more natural sympathy in Europe to Israel than there is today. And there is still a very large sector of the European public opinion in all European countries who still is very much sympathetic to Israel. But what is important is that in the wake of the new situation, that open war waged by the jihadists against Western countries and European countries, out of necessity, so to say, many people now are referring to what they call the Israeli model in combating and resisting the jihadist onslaught.
This is, I guess, called being mugged by reality. It changes people's attitude rather dramatically. Michel, I am afraid we are hard out of time. This hour has flown by for me, and I hope for you and our listeners. I hope that we will have a chance to visit at length on another occasion soon, and preferably without the catalyst of some terrible attack. We appreciate tremendously the work that you're doing. It's a very courageous kind of work as well in Europe at a time that is increasingly fraught for people who are standing up against and warning of the danger of the jihad. Keep up that good work, my friend, at the Jean-Jacques Rousseau Institute and in your various other outlets on both sides of the pond, and come back to us again very soon. I hope that the rest of you will come back to us tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.